Opening prayer, Brother Jerry White. Speaker, Brother Hank Davis, Jr., sermon title, Prayer Works. Scripture is James 5, verse 15 and 16. Scripture reading. Reader is Brother Nick Cimentero, presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards. And Brother Nick Cimentero. Closing prayer, Vince Cimentero. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we are thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for worship service, and for every opportunity, Father, that you allow us to serve you. We ask our blessing, Father, upon everyone who's here today, to bless each person, Father, in a special way. Ask thy blessing, Father, upon all who wanted to be here but were unable to do so. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
Our first song will be 535. 535.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus said to me, yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land. I'm in the glory land where heaven is dearer and the way grows clearer. I'm in the glory land where listen to the
all the whole day through.
my friend, trusting his promises, man. Sing and be happy, let's come to the Lord, trust him, who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let us be faithful, Lord, to him and pray. Let your voice and praise song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, shake with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, desperate earthly gain. Take your courage, we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark was vanish away, in the heart you began to sing. And be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him, who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let us be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing be happy today. Awfully good to see the rainbow up in heaven's clear sky. When it seems our fortunes are blurred, proud and blessed us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have pleasure in our souls. Sing and be happy, friends, on to the goal. Trust him, who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you for letting us gather this morning as a family to be able to sing praises to your name, to be able to worship you, and to be able to love you as only you know how we can do. Father, we thank you for your Son who came to this earth, who let his blood flow for us, that we might be washed clean and sinless, knowing that we have a chance to be with you one day in heaven. Father, we also ask that you watch over the speaker this morning. As he speaks, we ask that we listen to his words. We ask that we take those words, we bring them into our heart, and that we may be able to tell the world of your Son's saving grace. Also, Father, we ask that you watch over the elders of this congregation. We ask that you give them that double blessing that they so readily deserve. For Father, being a shepherd is not an easy task to do. Yet, without it, how could we survive as a church? Father, we ask that as we do so, we spread your word to others around us, that they might be able to understand your Son's saving grace. Father, we also ask that there's so much turmoil going on in the world. We ask that what's going on in Russia and Ukraine might find some peace. Also, Father, what's going on between Israel and Hezbollah, we ask that they find some kind of peace, that they might be able to end the destruction that ends so many lives. Father, we ask that you give them the comfort that they need to be able to continue on. Father, we also ask that as we go through this worship service this morning, you open our hearts, you open our minds, and we ask that as we do so, we might be able to understand those words that are said to us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayer of Minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 296. We'll sing the first, second, and the fourth verse. 296.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of love.
Amen.
to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll share with Thee, O rugged cross.
We've now come to the part of our worship service this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just want to take a moment and read a couple set of verses here. This will be coming from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church there, clarifying and specifying what the Lord's Supper is and how it should be observed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So as we just read the scriptures there, brothers and sisters, we have the two emblems before us, the bread, which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the cup, or fruit of the vine, which represents His shed blood. We'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll do so for the cup or the fruit of the vine. And this is a time to clear our hearts, clear our minds, brothers and sisters, and really reflect back on the cross, really reflect back on Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just so humble and thankful, thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. Thankful for his willingness to come down to this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, set the example that he did, Father, and ultimately his willingness to become that perfect Lamb of God, Father, and offer up his life for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord. And Father, as we partake of this bread, which represents his body, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us to clear our hearts, clear our minds, and really reflect back on the cross, reflect back on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. And that in doing so, we could partake of this bread in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Lord. We ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Lord, we're so grateful and so thankful and humble this morning, Lord, that we have this first day of the week where we all can come together and to rejoice, to celebrate, and to thank you for the precious blood of our Lord and our Savior. Thanking you, Father, for this cup that represents his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Thanking you, Father, for his soul cleansing precious blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, his precious blood that makes us whole. We are so grateful and thankful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody may have been inadvertently missed in the passing of the bread or the cup. So if you happen to be missed in either emblem, if you'd signal to us now by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. Next, we'll move into another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the new week, and that concerns giving. Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth again on the topic of giving. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, he clarifies and establishes that giving is indeed an act of worship, a part of worship on the first day of the week when the saints assemble. One book over, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he writes that this is, you know, really an opportunity, although it's a commandment, although it's a portion of worship, really should be an opportunity for God's people to give back just a portion of what we've been so richly blessed with. And I'm just going to read a couple verses from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church there. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So brothers and sisters, let's keep that in mind, you know, as we have this opportunity to give back. If you examine your life and think about every single thing that the Lord has blessed each and every one of us with, our talents, our means, our jobs. This opportunity is really a portion to give a rather insignificant amount of all the tremendous blessings that He's richly bestowed upon each and every one of us. So let's keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Let's bow and offer thanks for the opportunity we have to give. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time, we're just mindful and thankful of all the many, many blessings of life that you richly bestow upon each and every one of us, Lord. We know that the blessings are too numerous to even count, Father. They're like grains of sand along the seashore, Father, but we know that all these things come from Thee, Father. And Lord, as we have this opportunity now to give back a small portion of what You so richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father, we pray that You'd bless us with that willing heart, Father, that cheerful heart, and that any contribution collected, Father, will help to further the work of the body of Christ here, Father, and help broaden the borders of Your kingdom, Lord. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let's mark 880 as song of invitation. 880 will be the song of invitation. One. And before the lesson, we'll sing number two. Number two. Let's stand as we sing that song.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heaven praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise your name. All His hosts together praise Him. Oh, he is not.
Scripture reading for this morning's sermon be taken from the New Testament book of James, chapter 5, and verses 15 through 16. That's New Testament book of James, chapter 5, and verses 15 through 16. And I'll be reading from the King James translation. James 5, 15 through 16. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And now our brother Hank Davis will bring us the message this morning with a sermon titled Prayer Works. Brother Davis.
Thank you, Brother Nick. Good morning, church. It's always good to be with you this morning. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, to be able to have an opportunity to sing and to be able to worship Him and to praise Him in spirit and in truth. It is always good to be able to have the freedom to be able to pray, to be able to remember the death, the burial, and resurrection. It is just a beautiful, beautiful day, and it's good to see each and every one of you. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. If you are visiting with us this morning, please know that you are an honored guest. We are so glad that you have chosen to be with us today and to fellowship with us and to worship with us today. You are our honored guest. And after service, we ask that you don't rush off and you give us an opportunity to meet each and every one of you. I see some people out there that I haven't seen in a long time, and it's always good to see a familiar face. Amen? It's always good to see that. Again, I want to just emphasize that with everything that's going on in this world, everything that we pray about, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we need to be reminded that regardless of what we go through, what we see, that the Lord that we serve is a healer. And we need to understand that Scripture tells us that He is a healer, that the Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed in illness. Oh, there it is. Psalms 41 and 3. He is our comforter. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. He is our provider. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 4 and 19. We need to be reminded that he is our protector. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by thy day, nor the moon by night. That's Psalms 121, 5 and 6. Psalms 121, 5 and 6. And he is our way maker, our way maker. Isaiah 43 and 16, again, Isaiah 43, 16 says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. And Matthew 19 through 26 reads, but Jesus behold them, and said unto them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. He is also our strength. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. Exodus 15 and 2. Exodus 15 and 2. And Psalms 28 and 7 reads, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. He leaps for joy, and with my song I will praise him. We have to know and have to understand that in spite of what we see, in spite of what we read, in spite of what we see is going on in other lands, and some things that might even come very close to our doorstep, that we serve a mighty, mighty, mighty God that is there for us. We have to understand that he can supply all of our needs. Gathering here this morning is specifically designed by God for us to learn, to acknowledge, to appraise, and to worship him for all of who he is and for what he has done in our lives. For as we go through this morning, God willing, that everything that we have is right now and we're going to receive is his bread of life. You know, it says in scriptures that after Jesus feeds the 5,000 with loaves and the two fish, he says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That's in John 6 and 35. John 6 and 35, the bread of life, In this case, is not a physical bread, but Scripture makes it clear that this is a bread of spiritual renewal found in the salvation and in the blood of Christ Jesus. And so with that going with us with this morning, we're going to discuss the very foundation of all Christianity, the ability to be able to converse with our Lord through prayer and how prayer works. Now, I'm not here this morning to insult anyone. I understand that as children, we were taught how to pray, and we've been praying in church in our entire lives. In fact, we've been told at times what prayer is and what we do when we pray. Pray, P-R-A-Y. Some will say that it means to pray, to praise, to repent, to ask, and to yield. You know, we know those things. And I've said here many times that if you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, don't pray. So I understand those things. But what I want to talk about this morning is that the importance of the relationship that we have with God in those in that prayer. You know, many in the world today minimizes the power of prayer. You know that, right? That we can hear people all the time, and they loosely say things like, you know, when someone is either mourning or someone is grieving or whatever they're going through, we see it all the time that someone will send out, "My thoughts and my prayers are with you." Now, for some who utter those words, their motives may be truly sincere. So I'm not disparaging that. However, others simply say it because either it's A, the right thing to say, or it's the appropriate thing to say. However, with Christians, we have to understand that prayer is the most vital component necessary. It is the only component necessary to communicate with God. We do this by praising Him, confessing our sins before Him, thanking Him, and asking Him for our needs and desires. Prayer is communion with our Creator. When we pray, we encourage in loving fellowship with the Maker of heaven and earth. And in order for our prayers to work, we must know how to make them work. What we can do to make our prayers work is establishing a real, true relationship with God in His Word through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when I'm talking about relationships, this is where the depth of this teaching is coming from. Now, when we talk about relationships with one another, we want to make sure that if it's a relationship that we truly care about, if it's a relationship that we have truly invested in, that individual knows, that we know that individual, and that individual knows us, don't we? That, you know, when you're meeting your spouse, you spend hours talking to them, don't you? You spend hours with them. You want to make sure you're making the right decision on the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, don't you? So what we'll do is we will converse with each other, and that individual has to know all of who I am. I have to know all of who she is for us to continue to have this relationship grow. And so we have to do the same thing if we want our prayers to work when we are conversing with the Lord. And Scriptures gives us many examples of this. We can go with our example this morning with our Scripture. Scripture tells us that the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And this passage tells us that our character should be what we see before we pray. So let's break this down. It's the character of our minds, the character of our countenance when we go to God. So let's look at this for a minute. The effectual, fervent prayer. And I know we know this verse, Bible verse, very well. But let's look at the word effectual. Effectual. This means successful in producing a desired or intended result. That means being effective. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 8 would describe it as this, that for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is saying that we must make every effort being Christian, because being Christian is what? It's not a passive thing. It's not a passive thing. One thing we know as Christians is that on this earth, it's a level playing field. What do I mean by it's a level playing field? Because we're going to have bad days, just like someone who don't believe is going to have bad things. We're going to have bad things happen to us and good things happen to us. There's nothing new under the sun here. So for us to follow the Lord, when the world wants us to go on another thing, another way, it's not a thing for us to be impassive about. You know, it's not passive for us to do it. It is an active thing. And it must always, and it's not going to always be easy. As I said, the world will try to pull us away from our calling, but we must stand fast and make every effort to obtain this knowledge that we will keep us effective and productive. And fortunately for most of us, is not in the kind of knowledge that man himself sees as important, because he's looking at other carnal things, but it is the kind of knowledge that is essential to our Father God. So that's the first part, the effective part. The second part is fervent. Fervent is not a word that we use every day, but it is in the Bible. And it means to be passionate. It means passionate intensity. Passionate intensity. You know, you see some passionate intensity sometimes with some fans, don't you, when you're talking about sports teams. But the Bible reads in Romans 12 and 11, it says that never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So you've got to be passionate about it. So now we've got the effective, fervent prayer. So you got to be effective in it. That's a mindset. And you got to be passionate about it. Now the next piece we're talking about is righteousness. Okay, so we talk about righteousness. It says that righteousness is the quality of being right in the eyes of God, including character or nature, conscious or attitude, conduct of action, and command or word. So the Bible also gives us an example of what that righteousness looks like when you go to Galatians 5:22 and 23, and it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says that the fruits of the Spirit is also what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against which there is no law. So it's a godly consciousness that we need to be into. You can get godly consciousness by understanding what the Word of God says and trying to, and also establishing that relationship with Him. The other piece of that scripture says, availeth much. Availeth much. And that means simply to be of use or be valued to profit, to advantage, great in quantity, amount, and extent. So we have to be effective. We have to be passionate. We have to be righteous. We have to have the right character, right mindset. And when we do this, we can have great value with it, and we can have a lot of value in it. So clearly, we must meet a specific emotional criteria in order for prayer to work. Effective passion in serving the Lord with godly character, and God, through His love for us, wills it to work. He makes Himself accessible and available for us when we want to commune with Him. So that's the mindset we have to have. But in order to have that, we have to understand that relationship piece, which is so important. Scripture clearly tells us how to pray so he can hear us. That's what that means. It'll also tell us how not to pray. And Jesus Christ wanted to make it very clear. When you go to the Sermon on the Mount, when you go to Matthew 6, He makes it very clear that, you know, why it's so important to have the mindset that we have. Because there was others, just like in the world today, with the thoughts and prayers, that knows nothing about God. And so He makes this very clear. He says, so we have to think again about the relationship. Don't we want to have an open, honest, and sincere relationship with the Lord? Of course we do. So when we go to the Father in prayer, He wants us to be sincere. And so He gives us some examples. He gives us some examples of people who are not sincere in their prayer. He's telling us simply not to be like those people. When we go to Matthew 6 and 5, it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full. Now, what are the hypocrites? What are we talking about in the hypocrites? Now, we know that Jesus Christ, again, uses hypocrites in Matthew 7 when He's talking about not judging people. Okay? He uses that again. And what hypocrites are people who claim or pretend to have certain beliefs, right, about what is right, but who behaves in a way that disagrees with those beliefs. Okay? In some translations, they use the word as hypocrite as an actor. So what happens is these people, they want to be heard and seen by man, that their heart is not really in it, but they know it's like being on stage, right? And I know all the words. I've rehearsed my lines really well, but I don't believe nothing in what I'm doing. You know, it's just like we'll see an actor, and we can't stand that actor basically because of the character that they portray. But they may not be that way at all. This is what Jesus Christ is talking about when he's talking about the hypocrites. He's talking about folks who can just sit up there and they can orate real well, but they don't believe nothing in what they're doing. Or they just, I want to be seen by you. I want the pat on the backs from man and not the praises from God. This is what he's talking about in here. And so he goes and talks about another way not to be like. He's talking about, we go to Matthew 6 and 7. He says, don't be like also the heathen, who's even worse than the hypocrite, or vice versa. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So when we're talking about a heathen, this is a member of the people who do not acknowledge the God of the Bible. It also says they're a pagan, sometimes disparaging and offensive, a person who is not a Christian, in other words, a non-believer, someone talking loud and saying nothing. That's what we're talking about. Now, you can just peruse. I know we've got some veterans in here. You can look on TV. You can look in some folks, and they're supposed to be, they're calling themselves Christians. They're calling themselves followers of Christ. But they're some of the meanest people in the world you ever want to see. They say some of the meanest things to people. All right, this is what he's talking about. Their words is repetitive. They're loud. They say the same things over and over and over and over and over again. But you know doggone well their hearts are not in what they're talking about. You can just see it on them. You know, we talk about the light that shines on Christians when they walk in the room, the light of Jesus, the light of God that shines on folks who are truly believers. Well, you can tell these people, and you can ask them. And some of these folks carry titles. They carry titles, and some of the meanest people in the world. Jesus is saying, don't be like these people. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't just be saying stuff to be saying it. Don't be saying stuff you don't believe. Don't be loud about it so that you can get the pats on the back of men. This is what he's talking about. Again, it's like trying to have, when you act like this, it's kind of like trying to have a deep, intimate, sincere conversation with a robocaller or a telemarketer. It doesn't mean nothing. You get to nowhere. Their behavior is to impress men. God doesn't need all that. Scripture says that your Father already knows what you're going to ask before you ask him. So there's no need for you to go through all them changes. That's for man. See, and Proverbs 15 and 29 says, Proverbs 15, 29, it says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. There you go back to that again. Now, to be clear, there are examples. I want to make sure. I don't want to confuse anybody here. There are examples in the Bible of people repeating prayers. In fact, we have scripture that tells us to pray without ceasing. But you're doing this in a different mindset. Jesus prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that. We know he went to the garden to pray. We know what his prayer was. That was a sincere prayer. He finished his prayer by saying, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And there's something else we're going to talk about here in a minute. Okay, but there's a stark difference between the focus and the mindset of Jesus Christ, and because his focus was solely on God. It was solely on God. And this is very important when we're talking about making prayer works. See, someone in a relationship with someone that they truly love, or someone in a relationship to try to impress their friends. Now, have you ever seen anybody like that? You know, you ever see that? You know, when you're with your wife or you're with your husband and you're with them because you love them and we have built this relationship together and I want to be seen with them. And if I'm not with them or they're not with me, someone's asking about them because there's a love relationship there. But you can see some celebrities once sometimes. All right. They're together to do what? To impress people, to get people to talking. And you get tired of hearing about it because you know it's not genuine. But this is what we're kind of talking about. I'm using it as an analogy. When you're with God, and he makes it very clear, when you have a relationship with him, it is a marriage. It is a marriage. Jesus Christ is the groom, and the church is the bride. It is a marriage. It is a relationship. It is not a relationship based on like. It is based on love. And so in order for that to be, you know, you cannot just be playing a game. You can't do that, and that's what this is all about. It's the mindset that we're going to stay with, is the relationship we're going to stay with in order to make our prayers work. So let's move on. So our motivation in prayer needs to be solely on God. Prayer is about Him. And when we pray about Him and who He is in our lives, when we do that, prayer works. All right? Prayer works when it takes place in the church building, in which we are obeying, you know, the scriptures. In Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of others and ourselves. And also in Matthew 18 and 20, when two or more are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst. Or 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as ye also do. Overall, encouraging the habit of prayer. This is where a lot of us have learned how to pray. Coming to church, bowing our heads together, and praying to God. It's for encouragement for those who are struggling. It's for the encouragement of those who are trying to seek and find God. This is how we learn. However, Jesus Christ also knew that in order to make our prayers work, we needed to be outside. Sometimes we're going to be outside of the four walls of the sanctuary. And he would say, in Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, and this is when we're all alone, when thou prayest, he says, enter into a closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward openly. Now that's deep. That's very deep. Let's break that down a little bit. So he says right here, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. So number one, he's saying to each and every one, when you got to pray, go find you a, if you're not here, go find you a private place. Go find you a private place. It says it right here in Scripture. Because when you're having a serious conversation with somebody, the last thing, let me use this as an example. Don't you hate hearing somebody on their cell phone talking all out? You ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm not trying to hear your conversation, okay? They ain't got nothing to do with me. Same thing when you're going with the Lord. Find you a private place. It ain't got nothing to do with anybody else. That's an opportunity for you and the Lord to have a relationship, and an intimate relationship, an intimate conversation outside the prying ears of others. That's what that's saying right there. Find a private place. Close the door. How much more private do you need to be? Now, it says a closet, but it's saying go find you a private place. Close the door. That means I want you to shut off everybody else. It's me and God. This is important. This is Scripture. That means, so what is God seeking? What Jesus tells us about right now? Privacy. I want you to have privacy when you're talking to me. Okay? And the prayer becomes about God. Pray as an heir. Okay? As Romans 8 and 17, we are heirs to the kingdom. So we talk to Him. This is why the prayer has to be about Him, about giving Him thanks, about acknowledging who He is in our lives, about acknowledging what He has done for us. This is what makes prayers work. This is what the Scripture is telling us right here. You know, that when we do these things, God will bless us when we could. And this is why, because again, He is looking for the glory. We give Him the glory. Because if nobody else heard it, if nobody else saw it, if nobody else could overhear it, because it's private, what we pray to God for, and those blessings come openly and public, what are we going to do? I ain't told nobody but the Lord, and this happened. He gets all the glory. Jesus Christ did this. Okay, Jesus Christ did this. The Bible says that Jesus sought privacy in the garden, and Jesus sought privacy on the mountain. All right? Before He walked on water. He sought that privacy. And the other thing, when you're in private with the Lord, talk to Him. Open your mouth, let Him hear your voice. In other words, you don't have to try to pray to God in your mind. Let Him know. Let Him, just like you would talk to anyone else, open your mouth in private and speak. These are things that makes prayer work. Because now you're going to, it's just you and God. All the emotion, all the things that's in your mind, all the things that's in your heart, you give it to Him right there. Okay? Embrace your relationship with God. Pray to Him in private, and He will bless you in public. That's Scripture right there. Now, here's a question for you. While we're praying, what physical posture should we be in? You know, should we kneel as Jesus knelt in Luke 22 and 41? Or should we, or like Paul did in Acts 20 and 36, should we sit before the Lord in prayer as David did in 2 Samuel 7 and 18? Or maybe we should just stand and extend our hands in prayer as Solomon did in 1 Kings 8 and 22, or lay flat, prostrate, as Jesus did in Matthew 26 and 39. Well, let me tell you, that's a lot of posturing, right? We could be with the Lord, but understand, it is not the posture of your bodies that matters the most, but it is the posture of your heart that makes prayers work. If you have a humbling heart, that is what makes prayer work. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. We know that to make prayer work is all about God and belief. We got to understand that we have to believe in what we're praying. We have to believe in Him. Okay? James 1 and 6 says, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So our minds, we have to be passionate. We have to be effective. All right? We have to have the right mindset, but we got to also believe. Not only do we not just believe, but we also got to trust what God says He's going to do. We got to trust His word. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 says, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. But He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. Be not afraid, do not be discouraged. And we got to have and keep our faith. Jesus will say in Matthew 21, 21, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that as which was done with the fig tree, which wilted away, but you also say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou shalt cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And as we all complete our prayers with all of this in our simple mindset, what do we always say at the end? We always say amen. We always say amen. In Greek, amen means so be it. And so be it means that once you've given it to the Lord, you leave it there. Once you've trusted Him with it, you leave it there. Once you believe in everything with the effectual, fervent, righteous prayer, you leave it there with Him. And if you do those things, and if you start to develop those things and practice those things, prayer works. When we humble our hearts to God, prayer works. When we establish a relationship with Him, prayer works. When we trust Him, believe in His word, have faith in what He's going to do and what He said He's going to do, folks, I can't tell you anymore. Prayer works. When we open our mouths and talk to Him like He's been a part of our lives, all of our lives, prayer works. Prayer works. I leave you with this. So listen, if you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you soothe for love and favor as a shield today? Oh, how prayer rests the weary. Prayer would change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Prayer works. So if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done His part by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for remission of sin, that whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose. You've heard His word. Believe in His word. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is Lord. And be baptized and come up out the water and walk in the newness of life. And God adds you to His church, Acts 2 and 47, not by vote of man, but God alone adds you to His church. And if you're already a member and you strayed away for whatever reason, remember that the Father is waiting for your return. He's waiting to reestablish that relationship with you. And if you are in need of prayer, can't say it anymore, but I'll say it again, prayer works. So may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whatever your needs this morning, we ask that you make them known as we stand and sing, and you come and stand in the first pew, and together we stand and sing the song of invitation, to make God continue to bless you all.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home.
Amen.